Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Acharya Shunya. She is author of Ayurveda, Lifestyle Wisdom, A Complete Prescription to Optimize Your Health, Prevent Disease, and Live Life with Vitality and Joy. Ayurveda teaches us that true health is our birthright, and that by artfully adapting to the rhythms of nature, we can bring ourselves back into balance and experience optimal well-being. Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom is a groundbreaking work within the field of holistic health and traditional yoga, written by internationally renowned Ayurveda healer, teacher, and scholar Acharya Shunya. With Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, Shunya maintains the integrity of Ayurveda's traditional teachings while showing us how to integrate them into our modern lifestyles. Through her in-depth teachings, we learn to live in a way that supports our greatest health through daily ritual, nourishing food, spiritual practices, and self-care. For more information, you can visit the website acharyashunya.com, and I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Shunya to the show. Good day.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And am I pronouncing your name properly?
Perfect, and you can call me Shunya. Acharya is okay. My title, which means master teacher. Thank you.
Yes, okay, great. Well, I just wanted to make sure I had it all properly. Great, thank you. Well, I'm looking forward to our conversation today. Your book is a very beautiful and very thorough book, so I really thoroughly enjoyed going through and reading it.
Thank you. I really appreciate those comments. Very kind.
You're very welcome. So I think what we should probably start with, you know, for the listeners who may not be aware of Ayurveda, could you please explain what that word means?
Yeah, Ayurveda is, an ancient science of health and healing from India, and it's 5,000 years old, but it's still around. And it's gaining popularity, and, I am member of a 60-country consortium. I am president of a California-wide association of Ayurvedic medicine and also member of national-level organizations. So clearly it's ancient modality, but it seems to be really talking to a lot of people today, Robert, because it prescribes this beautiful lifestyle that says to us that if you live your day in a certain manner through certain practices which are inspired by nature and spirit, you are going to reclaim your health from within. And this is clearly a very positive message. And because it's been tried and tested for thousands of years, it's not something new that I came up with or a group of people came up with. Mm-hmm. Hippies came up from India. But just it's really like a sage wisdom that has emanated from very ancient roots, and it's spreading at grassroots level, and I'm just so happy to be promoting it through the book further.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, the one thing that I found most intriguing is the actual focus on lifestyle. When it comes to health, you know, we're in today's society, we're so often focused on, you know, sickness and disease, you know, when it comes to health, that, you know, the book really talks about how important it is really to make lifestyle be the focus.
Truly. And then, Robert, you know, even in today's day, when we are all, you know, confounded with lifestyle-based diseases like obesity, cholesterol, depression, the lifestyle teachings have kind of also become like a catchword. It's just being used freely. But what I've done is I've gone back to an ancient tried and tested regimen that really takes you through your 24-hour cycle revolving around the sun and a 12-month cycle, you know, as the earth oscillates around the sun. And, you know, it really kind of opens the portal or doorway to those sages who gave us yoga, who taught us meditation, who gave us the knowledge of tantra and esoteric mysticism, which is, like, you know, really popular. So what kind of lifestyle were those sages living? How were they teaching, you know, the world about, you know, techniques to be immortal and happy and joyful? Well, they were leading an Ayurvedic lifestyle. And surprisingly, Robert, I didn't find a book that went into details about it, you know. That's why you can see that it's a pretty sizable book. But I wanted it to be kind of like a go-to Bible, so that once you have it, you don't need anything else. So whether you need dental care, whether you need help with sleep, whether you need improved digestion, you can say, oh, you know, let me see what the ancient people, the teachers of, you know, ancient sciences of yoga, Ayurveda had to tell us. And there it is. So, you know, this lifestyle is unique in some sense. And it's way more than exercise, juice, and wake up early. It's just way more detailed in terms of pampering your body, connecting with oils, scents, herbs, spices. So hopefully it can be a much more holistic and well-rounded, you know, guide and friend to our life, so we can lead it with style. I really hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the ones, I mean, this is one of those books that is kind of like a reference book. I mean, I could see myself going back often, you know, to various chapters, you know, like when it comes to sleep, or, you know, I love the recipes, you know, in the back. I mean, those are some really great. I can't wait to try those out. But I mean, it's very holistic in the information and the approach, and that's, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people are really going to enjoy about it.
Truly, Robert, and I'm so glad you were attracted to the recipes. I'll share something, that these are hundreds of years old. They are from my family, and which is an Ayurvedic family from India. And, you know, I've been trying them over my students and clients at my, you know, Ayurveda Yoga Vedanta Foundation in California. And, you know, we've had people healing from rashes and, you know, chronic disorders and asthma and allergies just by eating these foods, because I have, you know, launched several, you know, even herb-free clinics. You don't even require herbs. You just eat a certain way and you live a certain way, and then let's see what happens to your health. It's just going to emerge from within, because health is your birthright. And these recipes, oh my God, they're delicious. And they seem to be loved by everyone, no matter what you've grown up eating. These are like Ayurveda super recipes. So send me a note after you've tried a few. I think you'll become a convert.
I will. Now I'll have to go shopping, because some of those items I don't have in my cupboard. But I look forward to that. So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that fortunately most of the items are available online or any natural grocery store, so it won't be such a exotic search.
It'll be good to have available to be used and integrated into my diet. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit, if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners a little bit about your own training in Ayurveda.
Yeah, you know, so Ayurveda today is, since the last, let's say, about 50 years or so, has been now taught through, is being now taught through a modern secular university setting in India, and now worldwide through colleges and, you know, satellite programs and online programs. And I also have a modern school which does online teachings, you know, worldwide. But I, interestingly, am from one of those last few graduates from a grassroots institute in India where my family has been passing on this knowledge for thousands of years. It just goes back a long time ago to the most ancient texts that were compiled in India, known as the Vedas. And my family, in some form or the other, has been like a trustee of this knowledge and has passed it on carefully from mentor to disciple. And then between many disciples, one of them would be really ready and ripe to become a master teacher and be titled an acharya and sent out to teach that. And I was really fortunate that my family, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, were renowned teachers of the Vedas and this wisdom of Ayurveda and yoga and of self-enlightenment and spirituality known as Vedanta, which are kind of sister sciences. And we lived this life. So when I was born into my school, so to say, and then I was attracted greatly to the teachings of my grandfather. And so I would be up a tree, maybe, trying to, you know, pluck guavas or mango or some other tropical. And then I would find that my teacher is lecturing his really sincere, sober-looking students. And I would, like, come down the tree and come sit with them and try to look all grown up and, you know, listen. And then gradually, he finally initiated me into study, because he recognized that I was meant to be talking to you, Robert, today. And, you know, and I just was consumed. And that's just how it has been. And later on, you know, it was diagnosed. I couldn't walk. When I was in my late teens, I started having pain. And I couldn't walk. And my entire body was stiff. And clearly now I know that I have a genetic condition that wants me to be in a wheelchair, and people with my condition are in a wheelchair. And I get that occasional twinge, but I'm bigger than my condition. I'm walking, even running, and I use Ayurveda and the lifestyle. The moment I get a twinge of pain, for example, I go to the oiling chapter, chapter 5, that in wisdom. I don't go to the chapter, that wisdom lives in me, and I would use those oils to oil my body. So this is how it's going with me. This is how I have grown. I live it. And I got to internalize it because I had a condition that I could overcome lovingly rather than having to battle it, Robert.
Yeah. When it happens, when you have a personal experience, you know, with a particular health challenge and recognize the treatment, you know, that you use, the process and the, you know, just the different approaches that you use to overcome that, then, you know, that's when it's a personal experience, it's so much easier to be able to go out and tell people about it, and you can talk from a place of knowing that, you know, knowing that it works. And so what are some,
oh, absolutely.
What are some kind of health conditions, you know, maybe are there some common maybe health conditions in which Ayurveda, you know, is particularly useful in helping?
You know, here's what I have to say, and I cover that in my preface, that I found that when I was growing up with my grandfather, I saw that, you know, cancers were disappearing, ulcers were healing, depression was lifting. And I thought, Robert, that this is because my grandfather, who I call Baba, is a spiritually realized being. But then as I observed more and I became more mature myself, I recognized that he was transmitting this Ayurveda lifestyle wisdom and people were healing. And then, you know, I took that knowledge, and then I already mentioned that in the laboratory of my own life, I got better. But then when I moved to California about 3 decades ago, I started, you know, doing the same thing. I started teaching the same lifestyle, you know, to various people from age of 10 to 80. And I welcomed all kinds of people to our drug-free, pure lifestyle clinic, where we had people from chronic disorders to terminal conditions to, you know, okay health, but they would like to have it better. And I want to tell you that every one of them got better, improved. It may not have cured every terminal condition, but it definitely improved the prognosis or the quality of life. And there was some peace and happiness and joy till the end. And chronic disorders like asthma, allergy, cholesterol, thyroid. And I don't want to make over the top claims to say that this is what we're trying to cure. I'm not trying to promote Ayurveda lifestyle as a cure, but I'm saying, even if people are taking prescription pills and they need to be in touch with their doctors, they can still begin leading a lifestyle from Ayurveda, because then that will evoke a health response. But if we just take pills and we just hope that the symptoms will go away, probably they'll just hide until something else happens. So I believe that no matter where you are in the continuum of health to wanting more health, to being really sick or terminally sick, there is no reason not to begin leading your day so that each day becomes medicine unto itself. So it's an art, it's a science, it's a poetry, and when people start living it, they start waking up at a certain time, going to bed at a certain time. I've had chemo patients tell me, I just have so much more energy, and I'm not even doing anything different. I'm still on my chemo regimen, and I go, well, stick with that. But for sure, you know, follow the, you know, wake up and sleep practices, the recipes, and, you know, the other self-care, self-love, self-nurturing rituals that are dotted throughout the day. It helps. So I guess I want to say that there is, entire gamut is open, and anybody, it's for humanity to benefit from at any stage of their life.
Yeah,
it's sounding over the top, but I have been trying this and it's working.
Well, one of the things, you know, from in reading your book, you know, it's clear that you recognize all different forms of care or treatments, you know, and that, you know, and you know the Ayurvedic lifestyle. By changing or by using or following that particular lifestyle, you're going to be getting more in balance, and it can diminish, you know, some health challenges that people may experience. But one of the things also too I noticed in the book is that, you know, some things. I mean, it's the human condition, you know, age and. You know, and eventually death is just the human condition. So it, you know, some things, I don't want to say aren't cured. Some things, you know, are just contribute to the, you know, the end of life. So, I mean, it's kind of like you recognize that in the whole spectrum of treating health challenges, that number one, following a Ayurvedic lifestyle, it would be key, would be very important, you know, kind of like a base, you know. But then again, like you indicated, that some people who may be following certain, you know, Western style treatments, you know, that's cool, that's fine, you know. Maybe by following, making lifestyle changes, you may decrease the need for intense treatment, you know. But so I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I appreciate you saying that it's not a cure-all, be-all, end-all, you know, but it is a definite base component that you can do to help be healthier, happier, and minimize health challenges.
Absolutely, Robert. I think you really covered that. And, you know, my basic premise is that our body is remarkably wise and it possesses self-repair mechanisms the moment we start aligning it to the great intelligence of Mother Nature. We've gone too far away from it. So, you know, health is our birthright. And gosh, you know, even a person who's dying, sometimes I meet people who are in hospice and they might be dying for one reason, but they're still urinating, they're still eating, they're still, you know, some other parts of them are still healthy. And, you know, what I've noticed again and again is that I'm in awe of this lifestyle and how it's all put together like a bouquet. And when we smell it, we enjoy it, we use pieces of it, the more we enjoy it and incorporate it, it doesn't have to be all incorporated at the same time. The quanta of well-being, the quanta of wellness keeps increasing, and it's remarkable. And that's why if you look at the case studies, the real life case studies that I've offered, you know, of so many cases of the young girl who was taking 18 pills for her ulcerative colitis and healed herself within 1 year and is off of all pills, or, you know, the 70-year-old guy who came in who had so many health conditions, but then he left after 1 year saying, I feel like $1 billion with Ayurveda. These are real stories, and I don't think I did anything much with them. Their own health awakened from within. And I'm going to get out of the way once people align with nature. My job is only to show them what the ancient sages were saying. So it comes to you pretty undiluted. I didn't try to dilute it, and I didn't try to, like, you know, soften it. But I made it, of course, as you saw, very accessible and easy to read in the 21st century. But I really, you know, took the time to explain, because in my own life, in my students' life, in our clients' lives, such a revolution. This should travel all over the world. And it, like you said, and like I agree, it doesn't, you know, conflict whether you're trying Western medicine or Chinese medicine. You know, a lifestyle is natural and okay for everyone. So
right.
It's universal. I like that word.
As long as you're living and breathing, you have a lifestyle. but that doesn't matter.
That is for sure.
So depending on if you want to make it a quality, happy, vital lifestyle life, then, you know, just make alterations into that style. So, well, you know, one of the things, you know, you mentioned that Ayurveda is ancient, and that the teachings are ancient. So in the book, you refer to it as the best kept secret of humanity. So, kind of what's been missing? I mean, if this is so ancient, how can it be such a secret? Why is it such a secret?
I think history, you know, historical reasons, the fact that India was colonized, the fact that when a country is colonized, the people lose their knowingness and they stop valuing the indigenous traditions, and the fact that it is in very esoteric Sanskrit. And then later in its modern avatar, when, you know, India woke up to know that it has Ayurveda to offer, it started kind of being, you know, offered almost as, you know, as like, well, here, try an herbal pill instead. But Ayurveda is much more than an herbal pill. It's a philosophy. It's an art of living. It's really the best kept secret, because humanity had obviously developed this giant medicine that thousands of years ago was, you know, had 8 branches. For example, it even included psychiatry, toxicology, you know, internal medicine, surgery. So it was, and it's way more ancient than Chinese medicine, which is like a cousin medicine. But Chinese medicine, you know, flourished because China was, you know, for its own reasons, historical antecedents and precedents, it just moved forward. But Ayurveda, especially its lifestyle part, its philosophy, its spirituality, I think this is, we're just beginning to see books, and mine may be one of them, not the only one, that's beginning to really enunciate the true secrets, the deep kept secrets of the ancient sages who gave us yoga and meditation, and how they lived for hundreds of years of age. And those elixirs and those recipes I have shared, probably for the first time in English language. So, you know, yeah, it's out. And we can all
there you go.
It.
There you go. And your book does a wonderful job of bringing everything out and making it cohesive and understandable. So that's a really great thing. What are some misconceptions about Ayurveda?
You know, that it's Hindu. It could be religious because it's not. It's spiritual. It has, you know, it has a concern for all beings. There was even an Ayurveda for animals and for elephants and for, you know, trees and dogs. So it's universal, and it connects. It talks about consciousness, and it talks about a purified mind. It talks about ego and how we want to be pure of our ego. But it doesn't, you know, advocate any religion as such. Also, another, you know, misconception that I think is popular with most, you know, non-mainstream medicines is that it's really slow. But what I've found is that when you have the right lifestyle prescription to follow, recovery can be pretty awesome. And because you're in sync with nature's intelligence and your body was wanting to go back home, it, you know, it didn't want to be slapdashed around with, you know, adventurous things. It just wanted to connect with the great ebb and flow of natural energy. So when that happens, you know, it takes the time it takes, but it's not slow or fast. It's like pretty good. And especially I've added some garden remedies and things like, for example, if you're having hot flash and if you just pluck roses from your garden and stick it in some hot water and make a drink out of that and drink that, that will help. Or if you have rosacea or hot red skin, you can just, you know, mince some marigolds and apply that, and very quickly the redness disappears. So there is some misconception around it's slow. I should just, you know, rush in and, you know, use it as a last resort. Another misconception that is that it, because it's from India, it might be vegetarian, but Ayurveda looked at all things that we can eat and consume and actually, you know, talks about all classes of foods from honey to grains to dairy. And it just talks about, it's neither vegan nor vegetarian nor talks about not a meatless diet. It just says, eat according to your digestive capacity and then give symptoms of how to understand how is your digestion, which is known as Agni in Sanskrit. And if you have a very diluted and disturbed digestion, then you might want to, you know, eat small quantity of food and maybe more vegetarian for a while, and then gradually you can build up your capacity. So I really like this rational and universal approach, and that's what I've tried to do. If you notice in the book that I didn't try to, like, you know, and I've seen later books written by groups of people who try to promote it as a vegetarian medicine or as a religious medicine, but I don't think they're doing really deep service to humanity, because the ancient sages said, in Sanskrit, I'm going to quote it, they said, Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani paschantu, ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet. So they said, may all beings in all dimensions, so they're even going beyond the earth, be happy. May none suffer from disease, and may all perceive goodness in each other. And, you know, so there was a desire for the well-being of all. There was no such thing like, yeah, we're just going to, like, make this medicine for our kind of people who worship the same God and eat the same food. That's too small a thinking. And so that's, that's why my early chapters are, you know, are filled with the poetry of the sages who really gave us this huge metaphysical cosmic medicine that's really come from the gods, which is universal and applicable for all beings. I even use Ayurveda for my dogs, for my plants, and you can get that as you read it because the principles are universal.
Well, great. I have many subscribers who are dog owners I've heard from. so they will be happy to hear that. Very happy. Well, I want to take just a quick break and do want to invite listeners, if you would like to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in, and we'll get to them after the very short break. Now, Shuna, when we return, I want to talk about how Ayurveda lifestyle practices impact us on multiple levels. And then, you know, for the listeners, maybe if you can give us a few different things that people can do to, you know, maybe start to incorporate some of that Ayurveda lifestyle wisdom into their routine, okay?
Sure.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide. Books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Pracaya Shunya, and we are talking about her newly released beautiful book, Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, A Complete Prescription to Optimize Your Health, Prevent Disease, and Live with Vitality and Joy. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is PracayaShunya.com, and I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Shunya.
Wonderful to be back.
Right, thank you. And I do want people to know that you're on Facebook too, correct? So that they can join you there.
I am, and yes, and they can look for Acharya, A-C-H-A-R-Y-A, Acharya Shunya, and you'll find me.
I happened to notice you post this morning about the release of your beautiful book, and it's really gotten some wonderful comments already. So, okay. Well, let's talk about the idea that Ayurveda lifestyle practices can impact us on multiple levels. So can you talk about that, the physical, spiritual, and emotional?
Yeah, you know, very interesting aspect about Ayurveda. In fact, something that really makes me a firm believer in Ayurveda is that in very early on, I mean, thousands of years ago, and I'm talking about texts that were written in 1 CE, which I have. Interestingly, Robert, on a side note, some of the ancient texts from 1 CE, 1 BCE, 2 CE, some of these have survived, and now they have been translated in several languages along the world, and you can even order them on Amazon.com. So it's not just a verbal tradition, but it's actually a, you know, written, textual, great tradition of medicine. So it's not just based on memory, but it's based on very clear, you know, teachings, of course, in Sanskrit, and I've used those books to, you know, have a conversation with my modern you know, friends, so they can benefit. And I found that very early on, it said that the human subject is, you know, five-dimensional. And it's like, whoa. So they say that the human being is physical, and the human being is, you know, sharira, or body, and the human being has mind, or manas, Sanskrit word, just for fun. I'm popping them there. And then, you know, and then there is the spiritual self, which is the soul, and then you have the social self, which is, you know, when the societally we interact and we have societal stress or whatever, then that causes disease. And finally, there is the cosmic self, which is like our highest being. And all of these, you know, bodies, they dwell within us, or the outermost body made of food. Then we have a vital body made of energy. Then we have a mind body. Then we have a body of ideas. Then we have a body of pure joy. And then we have the soul. So we have various concepts like this. You know, we have a paradigm of five bodies. We have a paradigm of three systems, which is like the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body. And so when a human subject reads a book on Ayurveda, Lifestyle Wisdom, they can expect to be seen, all of them. They can't just be feeling like, you know, terrible and say, well, your blood tests say you're okay, so congratulations, you have good health. And the person say, but I feel like, you know, hell. Well, the possibility could be that you're emotionally feeling, you know, you're struggling between your profession, or, you know, in a difficult relationship, or you are spiritually stuck and it's time for you to move on and go beyond, you know, your limited concepts of spirituality to a larger, or, you know, over-encompassing concept of spirituality and connection with nature and divine. So Ayurveda, interestingly, and my book reflects it, has teachings for all of these. So that's why when we get up in the morning, coming to your second question and some of the things we can do, Ayurveda says, don't just wake up, but look at your hands and look at them and say that the powers of abundance, the power of creativity, and the power of the health lives within me, because I am that great spiritual being, that presence, and then bless your own self. And I started teaching this really basic self-affirmation, which is thousands of years old, to my students, and they started recovering from depression, low self-esteem, because they were no longer dependent on anyone, and they were just blessing themselves. And this is a medicine that's also giving teachings on how to, you know, take care of a pimple or an acne or be fertile or sleep better. And here they are telling you, you are that great being. You are it. You are that great, awesome presence. Your source energy is one with universal energy. So go ahead and bless yourself. Then another teaching is to that when you wake up, you've gone to the restroom, you've kind of splashed your face with water, then the first thing you do is go out and look at the early morning sun. And of course, we are recommended to wake up earlier than later. But whenever you wake up, go look at the sun and connect with it and touch your heart and, you know, and just spread your arms and feel that connection. And now this alone has helped so many people. You know, we now know the impact of sun on the serotonin and, you know, and the good, happy, you know, chemicals. But Ayurveda has been talking about connecting with the sun, you know, for thousands of, you know, years. So I did a, you know, some modern practice, the university-based practice of Ayurveda, may or may not teach this, thinking, oh, this is too spiritual. This doesn't make us look, you know, official enough as a medicine. But the last, 25 years of my work, I've been teaching it to countless people, and people swear by this ancient teaching, and they thank me. And I'm like, don't thank me. This is the real stuff. So that's why it was important for me to write the book and really, like, you know, connect with all these five dimensions of the human being. And similarly, socially, you know, I have a story there, Robert, about a person who was a very selfish, self-absorbed businessman. And he had terrible hemorrhoids. He, you know, he couldn't sit. He was in so much pain. And, you know, he heard about my grandfather, a great renowned healer. And he got inside a car in the 1970s and he drove all the way. I don't know. I'm sure he was in a lot of pain to come meet with my teacher.
I would think so.
And he whispered something. And he whispered something, you know, because he's so embarrassed to mention it in public. So my grandfather said, oh, I have the prescription for you. And he told him about the name of an herb, which I've written about these stories, so I won't give details. But he said, go ahead and move to your farmhouse and, you know, get your hands dirty and plant all that herb. And, you know, it's a 6-week crop, so grow it for a whole year and, you know, and then bring it back to me at the end of the year. And he said, okay, I'll do that. and so you don't want me to be doing my business but doing this, fine. But what's my dosage? And he said, oh, you don't get to eat this herb at all. He says, what? And he said, yeah. You know, you should share this herb with the poor and those who cannot afford it. So because so my Baba, my teacher, was so astute, his social self needed to be stopped being self-absorbed. And this way he would bend down, exercise, be in the garden, lose the weight, you know, get up in the morning, you know, go to bed with time because the farmhouse was, you know, not equipped with modern, you know, gadgets to keep us in our cocoon. And so the man came back 1 year later looking happy. He was loaded with sacks of the herbs. And later I recognized that Baba was working on his emotional self and on his social self to become a sharer of goodness rather than just be a hoarder of it. And that was his medicine. So I didn't hesitate in adding these stories because sometimes we need to wipe another's tears before our pain goes away, Robert. I think you know that because I've been hearing your podcast. Yeah. You believe in that.
Yeah, very much so. You know, I love that story because it, you know, it really addresses, you know, the core. What was out of balance at the core level, you know, and just obviously, you know, being one with nature, which is a very important part of Ayurveda, I believe, of Ayurveda lifestyle, that, you know, that particular aspect alone, I think, has very curative effects on people.
Yes. Very much so, indeed.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. Those are a few things now. I'm going to be looking at my hands first thing in the morning and going through. And
remember, the power of abundance, creativity, and health, they all live within you. So bless yourself plenty.
Okay, I will be sure to do that. Okay, so... you know, when it comes to, well, first of all, I want to ask, you know, you've grown up with Ayurveda. Obviously, your grandfather, Baba, correct, was a huge influence. Were there, you know, throughout your life, have you ever had any period of doubt about Ayurveda or, you know, any hesitancy with the lifestyle wisdom?
Twice, not even just once. You know, once when, just prior to my sickness, I was, you know, maybe 13, 14, 15. And, you know, when you're a child, you kind of look up to your elders and you really love. And I was in love with my Baba. He was not only my grandfather, he was my guide and he was my guru. But you know, then when I became this young know-it-all, it was a time when I, you know, wondered if we are the most ancient family on earth following this. And, you know, I was going to regular school and I was being exposed to other systems of medicine and bacteriology and everything was caused by germs. And Ayurveda says, yeah, there are germs, but you can improve your own immunity and then you can have a good relationship with the germs. So I had some different perspectives. So I was questioning it. But fortunately, that period ended with, you know, pain and inflammation that, you know, automatically came up in my being. And, you know, only Ayurveda was able to help me. In fact, I asked my father, I said, I'm not so sure if I want to try Ayurveda. I think I'm going to try something different. And I'm very fortunate that my family kind of never forced me into anything. So they said, well, what do you want? And he said, well, there's this great big hospital and please take me there. The painkillers right away gave me, you know, an acid stomach. And, you know, it works for many people. It didn't work for me. So I was a very sorry figure. And my Baba came up to me and said, no worries. Let's just try little things at a time and see if you like it. We're not going to, you know, we're going to go slowly into it. But it's never stopped. You know, I kept getting better. So that was one. And then in my late 20s, early 30s, I was ending a relationship. Everything was dark and dismal. Baba was no longer there in his body. And I went through what I call, and I tell my students, a dark period. And at that time, Robert, I was not in touch with myself, my true being. So forget Ayurveda. I mean, I was like, that was my deep, dark, you know, journey into the depth of darkness. But gosh, that made me a teacher. And, you know, fortunately, things that I learned and loved and things like wisdom, gradually I came back. And, you know, words of my teacher kept coming back to me. And somehow throughout, I always had people around me who needed help. And they were like knocking at my door to say, help me, help me. So at that time, I saw that my clients were in less darkness than me because of me. So I had to shake it off. I was like I have way too much wisdom to be there. And but I obviously that was my official transition from being a student into a teacher. I had to claim my own darkness and shed it on my own. So doubts were many, but it has come through every time. And now I use Ayurveda for mental health, and I have so many people who benefit from it. You know, I teach it, and they swear by it. And I talk about my darkness and doubts. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've had that dark night of the soul. I mean, a couple times, you know, that I can recall it. And I think, you know, what it does for me, it's one of those periods where there is a true examination of self, you know, and you know what one's purpose is. It's also the point of complete surrender, you know, and it's, you know, once you work through that, I think a person becomes stronger and more vibrant, you know, and also, you know, like you said, you know, kind of shifting from student to teacher, it also becomes a very important point of reference, you know, to help others who are going through that, because I believe that we all go through that at one point or another, whether people want to admit it publicly or not. I mean, I admit it, you know, but I mean, it's just one of those things that happens, and it's that those periods where, you know, that social aspect, that social being, of being able to help someone through that I think is the essence of our humanity.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that is why throughout the book, I've shared, you know, stories from my inner heart, and I've shared stories of students who found spiritual freedom and connection to light and joy and something vital within themselves. That's why I couldn't write a book that was just about, here is a list of things to do. That's why I have a book which is very organized, and it has lists and bullet points, because I'm a perfectionist in that sense. I like to give the knowledge, you know, in a beautiful way. But then, as you saw, there were stories of my own growth and the growth of my students, because, you know, how can we possibly reach our cosmic self without clearing some of the backlog of karmic darkness or doubts that are part of human, you know, endowment almost. And that's why I have no shame. In fact, I claim it. I claim this darkness as being the bridge to my inner light. And I thank Ayurveda and its sister sciences of yoga, which I have talked about in my book, and Vedanta, which talks about us being a spiritual self, which is separate from the body and mind, as really important tools in my self recovery and self growth and actualization in that sense.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Well, we got about 8 minutes left. One of the things that I want to talk about is that, you know, there is a section in your chapter on sleep, sex, and exercise, which I thought was an interesting grouping. In that chapter, you have a little bit of a discussion about yoga. And I just happen to be leaving tomorrow to go to visit a new friend in Mississippi who has a yoga center. And so I would love to be able to, I'm going to share your book with her when I see her. But, well, can you talk about how does yoga fit into the Ayurvedic lifestyle?
Great question. You know, yoga and Ayurveda, yoga is very well known in America now, and, you know, It's ubiquitous with our culture and world culture, actually, not just American culture. But yoga has a sister science since antiquity, and that is Ayurveda. So that is a lesser known fact, but it's getting out there. A lot of my students are yoga teachers and yoga students, and, you know, I get invited to yoga festivals to speak and teach. But the fact is that when we are performing yoga postures, or we are, you know, using the yogic breath to cleanse our body, purify our shakti energy, and also to touch some spiritual mystic chords within us, it's imperative to lead an Ayurvedic lifestyle. But somewhere in the translation of yoga to the modern world, Ayurveda got, you know, left behind, and the most, you know, easy parts got, you know, translated. And that happens, you know, usually knowledge, right, you know, travels worldwide in bits and pieces. It just doesn't travel in its wholesome, perfect, you know, with reference marks and footnotes and keynotes, you know, it doesn't do that.
Right.
So Ayurveda is now coming more and more in limelight. In fact, more than half of my events and conferences and seminars that I attend and give worldwide are not always Ayurveda alone, but Ayurveda and yoga often come together. And, you know, so Ayurveda had its own teachings around how much yoga to do, when to do it, and all of that piece of information I find is like a missing gap. And that's why the book is not about exactly what kind of asanas or postures to do, though I have some prescriptions, but it's more around the wisdom, the lifestyle wisdom around a healthy yoga practice. And I'm happy that some of the topmost yoga teachers like Shiva Rea have endorsed the book, and they support what I'm trying to say here. So, you know, it's special that I get to be able to have a chapter on exercise. And then that leads into, so how much, what's the right season for it, when is too much, when are we overdoing it, when are we underdoing it, what are the symptoms, what does the ancient science say, and then it then leads into yoga. And, you know, the current practice of the yoga of more, like, you know, if I'm doing more postures, I'm good. No, it's not like that. And, you know, it's more like, do you have to do the right kind with the right energy? So some of the readers who have knowledge of yoga or want to have a practice of yoga will really enjoy this ancient wisdom that sheds light on a more fuller, holistic aspects of a good yoga practice, an at-home yoga practice.
Yeah, I agree. Well, sort of getting down to the end, I was wondering, was there anything that you learned by going through and writing this book, you know, anything that maybe surprised you, or something that you found that you didn't expect as you were going through writing the book?
Come again, your voice was a little bit.
I'm sorry. I was just wondering if there was, you know, in writing this book, was there anything that you learned that you didn't know ahead of time, or that maybe something that surprised you as you were going through and putting this book together?
Yeah, you know, as I was writing this book, and I have these different chapters, right, on awakening in the morning, how to have good sleep, food, you know, digestion, elimination, sex, exercise, all these topics. And through, you know, I've been teaching verbally this knowledge, and I have been teaching, you know, through tutorials and other things that we prepare as teachers. But in writing the book, the common theme of an alignment with nature and nature's energy and nature's message, and how deeply Ayurveda had discovered it, and how much it's part of our common sense, and how hard we humans have worked to make our health industry such a complicated and expensive process and piece, is just amazing to me. So at the end of writing this book, I felt more comfortable and more at home with nature and more in alignment with everything I teach. So I guess I saw some common themes, and those themes then, I'm fortunate that I wrote my chapter one on the basic principles of Ayurveda last. And so that chapter then got inspired by the whole writing of the book. And I shouldn't be talking like this, but I felt it's a brilliant chapter that really invites a new person. And I felt like, wow, And I felt like I was being initiated as a student by my own writing. And I was like, yeah, I'm teaching my own self. You know what it means? Like, sometimes you'll say something and you're hearing it and you're like, where did that come from?
Yes, yes, yes. I wrote a book. My first book I wrote, it was called Joy Potential, Where You Least Expect It. And and one of those things, after I had gone through and written most of it, I would, go back through the editing process. And a couple of the things I came across is like, oh, wow, I wrote that. where did that come from? And it's wonderful because you really get the sense that you were in that zone or that space where you're really the transcriber of information versus the originator of the information.
Oh, truly, Robert. I mean, I put my little ego self away and I would look at my hands before typing and I would remember that power, abundance, creativity, and health lives within me. I would ask the universal forces to come through me for the well-being of all. And I think I got blessed through the process. And totally, I'm like a child. And every time I read my book, I get engaged with it. So then I knew that, okay, somebody else wrote it. I'm really just the translator.
That's right, exactly. Well, Sunya, I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation today. I really want to thank you for your time.
Thank you, Robert. Likewise, you're such a pleasant host, and you listen so deeply. One could go on talking to you.
Well, I am following you on Facebook, so I am going to be very interested in following your journey and really look forward to...
Namaste. Thank you.
Namaste. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Acharya Shunya, and you can find out more about her book, Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, a complete prescription to optimize your health, prevent disease, and live with vitality and joy. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. And as I mentioned, she's on Facebook, so go and engage with Shunya and become healthier and happier. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again...
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.